Welcome to this special edition of UFI for Today. I'm Peter Francis, and these are the Gaithers Vocal Band.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, and I heard on the radio. This love of God, so rich and strong, shall be the saints and angels' song. And I heard on the radio, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, the lost and lonely can be found, and grace can even save a wretch like me. No other love could make a way, no other love my debt could pay, and I heard
Thanks for joining us for this special programme brought to you by UFI for Today. A very warm welcome to you, wherever you're listening. We really do appreciate your company. Christians around the world look back at the events of the first Good Friday with sadness because of what happened on that day. but also with great joy and amazement at the momentous display of God's wondrous love as his only begotten Son died on that old rugged cross for the sins of the whole world. Here's Daniel O'Donnell.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world sinners were slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will for a crown.
The cherished events of that first Good Friday were so important that they are recorded for us at the beginning of the New Testament in each of the four Gospels. This is a summary of what happened on that first Good Friday, as written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When morning came, all the chief priests and elders of the people plotted against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate said to him, Do you not hear how many things they testify against you? But he answered him not one word, so that the governor marvelled greatly. Now at the feast the governor was accustomed to releasing to the multitude one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they had gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that they had handed him over because of envy. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitudes that they should ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." Then he released Barabbas to them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "This is the King of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour that disciple took her to his own home.
Yeah.
Now when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being translated, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood by, when they heard that, said, look, he is calling for Elijah. Then someone ran and filled a sponge full of sour wine, put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink, saying, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God.
Oh,
were you there?
I was there. I'm a Roman centurion, a military officer in charge of 100 soldiers, deployed for 1 week in the Middle East in Jerusalem. I didn't want to be, but the Jews were having a special holiday, Passover, and Rome thought there might be trouble because of the crowds and because of a certain man and his followers, one Jesus of Nazareth. I'd heard of this man. A friend of mine, another centurion, told me how his servant was miraculously healed by him. I was curious, but I was also in no mood for these people's religion. I didn't want to be there, and I didn't want trouble. We were peacekeepers. It was chaos. The Jews were yelling. Pilate was trying to figure out what was the problem. I was there to protect Pilate, a Roman government official. I heard Pilate ask, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "It is as you say." "I find no charge against this man," Pilate later said, which drove the Jews crazy. He asked the crowds, "What do you want me to do with him?" And they replied, "Crucify him." "For what crime?" "I'll have him flogged and then release him." Pilate handed him over to the soldiers, to my soldiers, to be flogged. Roman floggings were brutal, so much so that sometimes the victims died before the crucifixion. The flogging was done with a multi-stranded leather whip. On the ends of the whip were tied pieces of bone and lead. The whip would be struck against the bare back of the accused. The Jews had a limit of 40 lashes, and so would only count to 39 lest they made a mistake. We Romans had no limit. Afterwards, weakened by the blows, Jesus was further mocked by the soldiers. They stripped him of his clothing and put the purple robe back on him. They put a crown of thorns upon his head and a staff in his right hand and mocked him, "Hail, King of the Jews! Hail, King of the Jews!" And then I watched as one of the soldiers took the staff from him and struck him again and again upon the head, pressing the thorns further into his scalp. The blood trickled down his face. They spit on him. They struck him in the face. And then they took him back to Pilate. Pilate brought him out before the people. "Behold the man! Behold your king," hoping that the flogging would appease them. Then he asked whom he should release, for he was allowed during the Passover to release a prisoner to the crowd. "Who should I release, Barabbas, a murderer, or Christ?" And with one voice, the people answered, "Release Barabbas." "And what about Jesus? What should I do with him?" And the crowds went crazy, yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" They pulled the robe off Jesus and put his own clothes back on him. When they pulled the robe off him, the wounds were reopened as the robe had stuck to the already dried blood. They led him away to be crucified. The time was the third hour, about 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. We Romans crucified the basest of criminals, slaves and enemies of Rome. Crucifixions were cruel. We would take heavy, wrought iron nails and drive them through the victim's wrists onto the crossbeam and the feet into the vertical beam. And then we would lift the victim up so that the weight caused difficulty breathing. To ease the pain, the victims would lift with their feet, easing breathing but bringing great agony to the feet. Sometimes the pain would prolong for days. I was amazed as I heard Jesus say, as they drove the nails into his wrists and heels, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do."
They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. T'was love beyond compare. Crucify, crucify.
signed for you, for me.
When I stand accused by my regrets, and the devil roars his empty threats, I will preach the gospel to myself, that I am not a man condemned, for Jesus Christ is my defense. My sin is nailed to the cross, my soul is healed by the scars, the weight of
people, the chief priests and rulers and the teachers of the law mocked him. They heaped insults upon him and spat upon him. Two rebels, insurrectionists, charged with treason against Rome, were also crucified with him, one on each side, and they heaped insults upon him. Save yourself if you are the Son of God, the crowds mocked. One of the criminals later repented. This man has done nothing wrong. And I thought as I sat under the cross, yes, he's right. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom, the criminal said. And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise. And then Jesus looked at me. and I thought as I stared at him, I want to be in paradise too. The women were wailing. There were four of them nearby, one of them being his mother Mary, and next to her was a disciple whom Jesus seemed to have loved very much. When he saw them both, he said, "Woman, behold your son," and to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And I thought to myself, incredible. Even in the midst of dying on the cross, in a time of intense physical pain and mental anguish, this Jesus was thinking of others. And the words came back to my mind, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they do." Still in control, still strong, still ministering and thinking of others. 3 hours had passed. It was noon on that Friday. For the next 3 hours, it was completely dark. What was happening?
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son and make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon his cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart: his wounds have paid my ransom.
At the ninth hour, about 3 p.m, after hanging on that cross for 6 hours, he cried, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" Such agony, such pain, as if you were experiencing hell, as if all the sins of the world were placed upon him. I later learnt that at this moment his father's face was turned away from him. this Jesus, who from all eternity knew nothing but perfect, infinite, joyful bliss and communion with his Father, and now his Father had turned his face away from his Son. He who knew no sin had become sin in our place. I tried to close my ears. I tried to close my eyes, and then it stopped. I looked at him. He seemed tired, exhausted.
I saw one hanging on a tree in agony and love. He fixed his languid eyes on me. As near his cross I stood. Oh, can it be upon a tree the Savior died for me? My soul is thrilled, my heart is filled to think he died for me.
Sure, now.
I'm thirsty, he said. They gave him wine mingled with gall, a bitter sour vinegar, to mock him and to keep him revived to prolong the suffering. Afterward Jesus said, "It is finished." What is finished, I wondered. He seemed to be speaking about something more than his life. And then in a loud voice he cried out, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He didn't go out weak. As was apparent by his voice, he was still strong. He was still in control, as if he were waiting for all things to be fulfilled before he gave up his life, not anybody taking it from him. He breathed his last. The curtain in the temple which separated the holy place from the most holy place was torn in two from top to bottom. There was a big earthquake. Rocks split open, tombs were broken open. Later, bodies of many holy people who had died would rise to life and walk through the city. I was terrified. I thought the end of the world had come. And I looked up at this man, who days before was entering the city with palm branches waving. A man now at peace, as if he had a smile upon his lips. Such beauty. Such love. And I praised God, and then exclaimed, "Surely, this was a righteous man. Surely, he was the Son of God." For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved than the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.
On the road to Calvary.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed our time together today as we've gone back over the events of the first Good Friday, as seen from the viewpoint of the centurion who was there. You and I weren't, but I hope his record will be of benefit to each one of us today. This programme was brought to you by Your Five for Today. To listen to 5-minute messages with meaning, either dial 015-542-53542 or visit our website yourfivefortoday.com. Your Five for Today is also available on Facebook and WhatsApp. Our contact address is P.O. Box 109 Swansea, Wales, or email us on your542day@gmail.com.